And artists have long found inspiration in nature, and a new book has pulled together the work of some who have also helped to protect it. Creative Conservation, a celebration of New Zealand artists who are wild about nature, showcases the paintings, sculptures, carvings, ceramics and weavings of 35 artists from around New Zealand. Many of those featured have worked with Nature Trust or the Department of Conservation, and that awareness of the environment informs their work. We welcome Chrissy Wicks along with Sonia Frimmel, who has helped compile the book. Good morning to who, along with Sonia Frimmel, has helped compile the book. So good morning to you, Chrissy, in Wānaka.
Kia ora. Thank you very much for doing an interview with us and showcasing our beautiful book.
What a brilliant idea it is.
Yeah, it was a brilliant idea many years ago, actually, and it was a real journey to get to this end point where creative conservation is now actually not just a great idea, but a beautiful book. So, yeah, a lot of hard work with 35 wonderful conservationists that express themselves through art.
And the imagery, understandably, in it is amazing as well. Is this something that is perhaps underappreciated, just that combination of love of nature and the artistic outlet? Is it way more common than you might find in the general population?
That is a really good question. And it sort of leads on to actually where I first came across this idea to make this book. I think that creativity and conservation are quite closely linked, more than what we thought initially, more than what I thought initially. It all started for me when I was in Dana Hut in the Murchison Mountains. I was a stoat trapper, and I was staying in that hut doing some work, stoat trapping to protect the takahe. And I looked at the beautiful wall inside this little dingy hut, and there was this gorgeous pencil drawing of a takahe that one of the rangers had done. And next to that was this list of rangers that had worked in this place, going back to sort of the 1970s. And this was 12 years ago, so it really triggered to me the idea that, yeah, there's a lot of amazing conservationists out there doing really cool conservation work. They have a story to tell, and they are really creative. And so I really wanted to bring these people to light, and that's what this this book has done.
What is your own artistic outlet or focus?
At the moment, I'm doing oil paintings, but I've just recently come back last summer from a really cool trip down to the South Antarctic Islands, and I've been doing quite a few charcoal. So I love expressing where I live or what I've seen, the conservation that has influenced me. I'm one of those many in this book that have been lucky enough to get to some pretty unique places within New Zealand and work with some really amazing species. And I really want to share that story with the general public of New Zealand and the wider audience.
Before we bring in many of the others, the 35 artists, for you, was the art always, and you know that the conservation obviously has been your job and is your passion as well, but what was your kind of educational or training in art? Landscapes are your main work, yeah?
Yeah, landscapes my main work. What's my training? I'm a self-taught painter. I've been painting for years now and still learning. I'm actually doing a course through TLC, the Learning Connection, at the moment, just to enhance that learning. One never stops learning, particularly for me in art and in conservation. But yeah, so at the moment I'm doing oils, but really enjoying sort of learning other mediums. I'm very inspired by nature, by not just nature. This is sort of this is what tends to lift this book from just a book about artists passionate about nature. It's actually artists that have worked and still do work in conservation. So it's really got that incredible depth of meaning and knowledge behind their artwork.
Let's look at some of the various forms. Oh, goodness, who's this? Yana Beer. Goodness.
Yes.
Okay, let's talk about Yana.
Yeah, Yana Beer, a beautiful artist. She does such fine work. I mean, that's what is so brilliant about this book. There's something in here for everybody. It's not just she's doing beautiful charcoals, very fine charcoals, but we've got muralists, Jono Moore, who does incredible murals throughout the different towns that he's lived in. very connected to the marine ecology. So his features lots of amazing hector dolphins. You've got
photographers. I'm not surprised there's plenty of
you've
photographers.
Got sculpturers. You've got ceramicists. You've got Jo Ogier, who is a professional artist, and she works in all types of different mediums, mixed media, woodcuts. So you really do have a huge array of different artists expressing themselves, expressing what inspires them from their conservation background in the arts. We've got Gavin Smith is an incredible, beautiful carver. His intricate carvings, he's got this one piece that's actually in the book, and it's a kōkako whistle, and it's a pendant that he gave to one of the volunteers that were working on the kōkako program at the time. So I'm sort of really excited about these stories as well as just the end product, but sort of where these people have been inspired from.
PC Taylor working in Oamaru limestone.
Large
sculpture works.
Yeah, and this man has lived up the Holyford Valley towards the Milford for a long time. So he's sort of living in the bush pretty much.
What are the stories of many of them? Like, some are working for DOC now, but as PC Taylor, he was originally with Lands and Survey and then Department of Conservation. Have many of them come to what we now understand as being DOC as their professional career? Oh, my Lord, I've just seen Don Neal's amazing stone pyramid of driftwood and stones.
Yeah, he's the man.
How do you do that? It's like something out of Egypt.
Yes. He's the man that first started that Hokitika driftwood driftwood art on the Hokitika beach, and now has become a whole festival in itself with people coming yearly to do just that, make amazing sculptures out of nature. So these people, a lot of them have very strong, very grounded in conservation. You've got, I've just opened the page to Hannah Edmonds, who lives down Fiordland in Tiano, and she has had an incredibly rich career, finding the first Campbell Island snipe on Campbell Island since rats were removed, hand-rearing kakapo chicks. This is just straight from her profile that I'm reading here. So we've got these gorgeous stories showing the depth of these people's involvement in conservation, and then the art that has clearly been inspired by that work.
So much of it, many of them have worked for DOC, others haven't. Here's Robert Long, who we've interviewed, and many people are familiar with his story, and some of his artists here as well. Who are some of the others who perhaps haven't worked for an organisation like DOC, but who have been so passionate or have contributed so much to conservation that they are here as well?
Yeah, definitely. Joe, there's a lot of people in that camp. So it's definitely not a Department of Conservation book, but because of the nature of the Department of Conservation being a very big body for conservation in this country, of course, a lot of them have come from that background. But Jo Ogier is a wonderful example, a person who has just recognised the conservation needs in this country. She has not, from my knowledge, worked for the Department of Conservation, but she has been involved in some fantastic trips, one going down recently to Dusky Sound. It was an art trip for artists, for some very opportunity to explore and experience those places.
Ginny DeVoe, my goodness, this work is spectacular.
Yeah. Ginny was another one that went down on that same trip. So she hasn't worked for the Department of Conservation, but she is very deeply involved in telling the conservation story. And that's what each one of these people does and does so well.
So how did you find them and select them?
It was a very fantastic selection, a very easy process, really. I just put a message through the Department of Conservation system. Lots of people knew lots of other people, and hello. Suddenly I had a whole lot of emails coming through recommending people, knowing somebody that'd met on an island or done some volunteer work or worked for DOC or used to work for DOC or worked for Forest and Bird. So they just came pouring in, really. What did
you ask them in the pitch? What did you say you were looking for?
I was looking for strong artists with a very strong background in conservation. That was pretty much the pitch, and that's pretty much what we got. So, you know, we have people like Sarah Matthew, who has been up to Raoul and done beautiful work while she lived up there for a year doing conservation work, and now lives on Great Barrier, I do believe. I mean, most of these people I haven't met. I sort of know as much as everybody else does as a reader of this book.
Here's an interesting one. Is it Julie Oliver who's done the sores? Has painted? Looks like she painted the sores, or is this a digital impression?
She has painted those sores.
She has physically painted these sores.
Yeah.
About seven of them.
Painted those sores. Yeah, those beautiful old sores.
Wow.
So yeah, we've got a whole. It's not. It's definitely a huge variety of artwork and creative conservation. This book. And we have really embraced that. And I think it works really well as a unit. We've got this woman who does amazing tapestry as well as incredible sketches, Marilyn Menzies. Some of these people, it took a long time, this book. It took 12 years.
Cause I wow.
Had child and, yeah, yeah.
12 years ago you put that word out?
12 years ago I had the idea.
Right.
And probably I think it was about 5 years ago I put that word out. I was living in Tiano at the time, and that Dana Hutt experience really got me engaged in wanting to make this book. And then I had a child, so that sort of put things a little priorities in a different order. And then I came to Wānaka and put the word out, had more time and thought, yeah, let's make this happen. And definitely I'm great on great ideas, but Sonia Frimmel, who is the other compiler of this book, she was really important in getting this book created and bringing it to the light, just for the fact that she made it beautiful and made it something that we could approach publishers. So she's a graphic designer herself. So, yeah.
Many sort of different varieties or not only media used, but styles used here. Sven Grabo, how would you describe his work?
Yes, Sven, really interesting work. His is probably the most different in the entire book, and it's kind of beautiful that it's right in quite close to the middle of the book because it really sort of stands on its own. His is kind of like quite almost punk-like art, very doodly, very, in a way, you could say dark, very playful, and very unusual. So we wanted variety in this. We didn't want all photographers. We didn't want all acrylic or oil painters. We wanted a huge array of people with different ideas and techniques, but still with that link of conservation. So his, he uses ink, but very, very strong images.
There's some poetry here as well. It occurs to me there has always been a link between a love of nature and the environment and literature. In fact, it's been celebrated. It's a fundamental part of New Zealand literature traditions, you know, the sort of out in the bush discovering oneself has been a real feature of many of our writers, or writing landscape, of course, writing, whether it's in prose or it is in poetry, landscape has inspired so much literature. So why wouldn't it, of course, for those who spend a lot of time in it, inspire so much art?
Yes, definitely. So we do. We do have two beautiful poets in this book, both performance poets, actually. And the Red Moki from Hoki, they call him, and Pete Newland, fantastic performance poets. And that's also why I really wanted each of the artists to write their own profile. It's in first person. This is their way of expressing themselves, because, yes, I agree with you, it's not just an artistic form of expressing your conservation passion, but hearing what they're saying, the two go so hand in hand. And it's interesting because a lot of publishers didn't really get that. New Holland did. They got creative conservation, what we're trying to do there, with getting the written person's love and words of nature and conservation and their art side by side. Some of the publishers said, is this an art book or is this a conservation book? And for me, when I hear that, I realise that they didn't actually quite get it. It is very much a hand-in-hand.
The murals and the use of murals, I know you've done this yourself. I can see this at the Wānaka School mural, but is this also something that happens again as an awareness raising exercise, the use of murals or installations or other forms as a method of communication with young people?
Definitely. And the best sort of, well, one of a really good example of that is Adrienne Grant in this book. She created this beautiful stencils around town with bird songs. So you'd walk into an area and it would be triggered, your movement would trigger the bird song to come out. And on the wall, she stenciled birds of, you know, the particular birds so that people in that environment, in a real city environment, could still experience that. So definitely these people are putting themselves and their art and conservation nature out there into their communities.
Wonderful stuff. Well, you must be very proud that it's there now after such a long gestation.
I am indeed. I'm very grateful, and I must say all the artists that contributed to this book kept me going with their words and emails. And yeah, I'm really rapt with how it's looking. I think it's an absolutely beautiful book.
Do they all know each other, Chrissy? Did most know each other through networks?
No, not really. No, I haven't. The funny story is I don't even know. I have never met Sonia Frimmel, who's the compiler. So no, we know each other through our art and what we've on our emails. I know a few of these people, probably about a third of these people, but the rest are complete unknown. So I need to do a road trip with my family and go and meet these wonderful artists.
And who's the publisher? Where can people find it?
You can find it in any good bookstore throughout New Zealand, and the publishers were for Creative Conservation, New Holland Publishers.
Wonderful, thank you. Chrissy Wicks, who has compiled this with Sonia Frimmel, Creative Conservation. 35 of our conservation workers or volunteers who are also artists brought together in a lovely book.